Welcome to My New BFF. I'm Cody Elaine Oliver, co-creator of Black Love, and I am joined here today by two people who I have been following for a while. They are successful influencers, entrepreneurs, and sisters. I'm super excited to welcome Maddie James and Maya Elias.
Hi.
So y'all know that I'm all about love. And so before we get into really like what you do, I think this is always a part of who we are as people. Who has taught you the most about love in your lives? Good, bad lessons, but who's taught you the most about love?
Honestly, I think my parents, I think it comes from home first, at least for me. And I am interested to hear what Maya has to say, because that's like the first example of what I saw anything from not only marital love and romantic love, but then even how my parents showed up for their siblings. And so that in turn, I think subconsciously taught me how to show up for my sister, especially as the oldest. My mom is the second oldest and daddy is the oldest of nine. My mom is the second oldest of six. So just the way they took care of their family from their parents to their siblings, and they gave so selflessly. Like, obviously they're not perfect, but I think the thing that always has impressed me about my parents is when they gave and they showed up for people, they really didn't complain about giving. And to me, that level of service really showed me what true love is all about.
You know, the first person I thought of when I heard the word love was mom. Like, Our mom is so nurturing. And I can tell when I have that like nurturing side of me where I want to show up for people. And even to the point where you're crossing boundaries and doing more for them than what's necessary. But it does come from a place of love and wanting to just show people that you care. So I definitely think about mom. And then when it comes to dad, I think the first word, you know, especially growing up, because I wouldn't have known how to articulate it, wouldn't have been love, but responsibility. Our dad is such a protector. And so he was that protector role for his siblings. And then, of course, he was for mom and then for us. So for sure, that was how he showed his love.
Who's the protector between you two?
I definitely would say, yeah, I'm the oldest. So I think by default, I'm just kind of like, I just am in protector mode, you know?
I can see that. Totally. Maddie is the protector. Okay. So I absolutely loved, I would say, discovering you, you know, like I make it a point to find couples, Black couples all over the country for the show Black Love, but I don't always follow them in real life, right? From the standpoint of like, you know, you just, that everybody, that's not what you see in them is wanting to continue knowing what they do every single day. And with you, Maddie, I definitely discovered you through that process of Black Love, and have followed you on socials ever since, and then discovered Maya. So I would love for you guys to tell us from your perspective, what do you do for a living?
No, you go first.
Okay. For a living, I run a coaching company where I work with experts, entrepreneurs, primarily women of faith, who want to build their own online coaching practice. So what I help them do is take their skill set and develop a process that they can package up into one-on-one coaching or speaking or some type of group coaching program. And my goal is to help them be seen as high end in their industry and take their business to six figures and beyond.
I totally want to know how that started, Maya, but we'll get there after Maddie tells us.
All right, cool.
I am a lifestyle influencer and entrepreneur. I am the founder of the Maddie James Company and Bossfluence. The Maddie James Company is simply my influencer marketing business. I create content for brands, you know, whether it's social, YouTube, blog, and then Bossfluence is my course side business, course and coaching, where I teach influencers essentially how to become full-time influencers working with brands specifically. And yeah, and I get to do that with my amazing husband, Chris.
So one of the things I love about both of you is your transparency in what you do, right? Like Maddie, all the way from like, I made this amount this month, and I remember the first month I was doing it. And so where did both these career paths come from for you guys, but also that decision to be so transparent?
Yeah, I think for me, the transparency is so important because I know I started blogging in 2010, where not, especially like in that style and beauty niche, where not a lot of women that looked like me were getting those deals. It was so important for me that even like internally in the beginning, I knew I was like, it's so important for me to like give Black women that hope, that excitement, that enthusiasm, because they see me continuing, they see me landing a deal, whether it's small or big. And so that's really why I wanted to be transparent, because I also didn't want to, people to think like, well, if you look like me, then you can only do this part-time or you can only make this kind of money. And then more specifically, like, especially like as a wife and mother, I think a lot of times too, society can play a way where it's like, well, you're only allowed to have one good thing as a Black woman. You know, you make money, so you don't get to have a family, or you have a healthy family, so you don't get to make money. And it's like, no, you can have it all. You're worthy of it. This is how you do it. I have three children. I've always wanted three children. I have a husband that I'm obsessed with. I love, and I love what I do. There's no shortage in my life because I don't want there to be. And so if that's what you want as well, it's really important for me to like project that. So I, you know, hopefully give people permission to do the same.
Nice. And Maya?
My transparency, starting out, it didn't come with that level of intentionality. I was just transparent because I'm a transparent person. Like I'm such a millennial. Like we grew up in the internet stage and was like, just put everything out there. It's like, whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, when I started putting things out there, I didn't even have a sense of boundaries. And because the internet was so new with me growing up, like my thought process was never things stay on the internet forever. So even though, you know, I've been transparent with my business, which I think has helped so many people, I've also been transparent with things that may be on the internet forever. But it definitely works out in the favor of people who've been following me and who I've been able to help. And so, you know, when I was starting out, all I wanted to do was just share my journey as a freelancer, because I did start out as a web and graphic designer. And then when I started at other bloggers, you know, I came across Pat Flynn and I saw him sharing his income reports. And I had never seen somebody make that much money before. His income reports were like $80,000, $90,000, $110,000 a month, where I'm at now. But when I first saw that, I could not fathom that that's what it looked like to make millions of dollars. And there was another blog called Pinch of Yum that used to do their income reports. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is insane. I'm like, I want to share my income reports. And at that time I was making between like $3,000 and $5,000 a month, but it was still so inspiring for me to be able to see like, wow, I make this much. And I want to show other freelancers that they can make this money as well.
I love it. Oh, I think it's just a special thing to be able to share. But then when you take it to finances, right, it's an extra level of transparency that is inspiring. But I think so many of us just have a block. I mean, we don't talk about money. So it's really powerful that you do that. So I know that your parents are Liberian.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do they feel? I mean, look, I only know stereotypes, right? And generally, first generation families are like, there are a few career paths for you. So how have your parents taken to these social media-esque careers, right? You're doing a lot, but social media is a huge part of it.
Well, they love it now.
I was going to say, they totally love it now. I mean, like, mom literally goes around showing people my picture and it's like, my daughter's a millionaire.
Yeah, that's like, that's her pride and joy. She's like, oh, my daughter Maya, she's a millionaire.
After the last time, you could be like, stop telling people how much money you make. Right. It's like, now she's telling people my income report. So,
gosh, that's so
amazing. Cool.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's, you know, they love it. They're super supportive. And I think, you know, I don't think there was necessarily like a lack of support more than there was just like a general concern that we would be okay. Mm-hmm. I think one, they wanted to make sure that we could make a living on the internet. And then two, I think once we did start making a living and a good living at that on the internet, that like people didn't like show up and rob us. I think those are the two things in the beginning.
Yeah. And like when you think about when we really went full time, we were not really doing shit.
Yeah, we were really not
like,
doing that much.
That was still bad. I was designing club flyers. Like,
yes.
Why would my parents think that I can make a living designing club flyers?
Did they say? What did they say? And how long did it take for them to be like, oh, wait, okay.
I'm like, it took until like last
year. I was like, you know, they just moved here. So I think it just took that, you know? You know, I think for my journey, for my dad, he didn't really acknowledge my blog. He just was like, well, so long you still have that good job as you're blogging, it's cool with me. You know, my dad's very much like me. We love publicity, right? So I think when my dad saw me in a magazine like that you see on newsstands and he saw that I had a feature, he like bought like a few copies. He was like, he told my mom, you need to go get your own. He had one copy for work, one copy for church, and one copy for him at home. And I think that was for him where it's like, oh no, she's doing something where people are actually recognizing her. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us are that way, right? Where it's like, oh no, other people see that you're doing something. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then we would slowly but surely organically start to talk about it, you know, when me and him would talk. But so it took about, and so that was like 4 years. I started blogging in like 2010. So that took until like 2013 until that happened.
Wow.
And I think too, with, you know, African parents, they like to have kids that they can brag about, right?
You
know, like we're their pride and joy. So it's like, please make us proud. So it was like, actually give them something tangible to be proud of.
Because it wasn't a degree. It wasn't a degree.
Right. So it's like, well, girl, what are you doing that's going to replace this degree? Because nothing so far is really impressive here.
These club flyers aren't in it. These outfit posts are cute until they're not. Like, I can't take that to my homeboy and be like, my daughter's wearing like, I can't really do that.
Right. The blog views were not really, you know.
It wasn't that. The math wasn't.
Yeah. So, but now I think, you know, to me, I laugh and I'm like, it's probably just a couple years ago where they really started to get it. But, you know, now they're really there and they're excited for us. And I'm so grateful that they understand now because the conversation is different.
And to be fair, I think like they didn't understand because I think we didn't understand for a little bit what the heck we were doing out here.
Yes.
Like, you know, there really is no precedent, you know, which is why I think we are both so transparent in our journeys because it's, you know, there's so many different ways to do it, but here's how I did it and here's what has been the result for me. And I think getting more clear on who we are and what we want to do with our positions, I think has also built their confidence because there's a level of clarity.
Yeah. So that was my next question. When you started what you're doing, which it has evolved, right? For each of you, were you scared? Were you feeling like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but this is what I like? You know, like what was the motivation and was there any fear and anxiety? And how long did it take to get out of that to pure confidence, which is what I see?
Wow. Man, I think that the fear and anxiety is still like a day-to-day effort to like manage, you know?
Yeah.
I think like I have dealt with so much, you know, anxiety with so many like big projects, you know, coming up as of late. You know, I think in your mind, we all have this, at least me anyway, let me speak for myself. I have this like idea of what I should look like when I arrive, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of had that thought the other day and I was like, girl, you take care of 3 humans every day. You have a husband, you have a house, you know. I think you've made it even at least to an extent. Like you have to give yourself some credit sometimes because it's so easy to be like, let me keep my head down and work. And so just kind of allowing myself to accept that, I think was kind of like, you know, kind of scary. And then kind of being like, now there should be some new goals because you have reached a lot of things that you wanted to do. And so it's just a day-to-day effort. And I think, you know, between prayer, therapy and your village, you kind of you just push through and you do the best you can. But in the beginning, I was scared, but I think in the beginning, because I was, you know, I was in my 20s when I started this, you know, I'm 36 now. Fun. Gosh, you have just like a level of fearlessness that you don't have. So much you don't know. I didn't have kids yet.
And you had no responsibility in that way.
No kids. I started blogging in 2010. You know, I didn't have Mesa until 2014. So I have 4 years of just blind faith out here doing the best I can, you know, Chris pumping me up. And, you know, of course, he's still incredibly supportive and stuff like that. But now it's just kind of like, well, you know, I have to kind of think about, you know, 4 other people before I can just take the leap on a project and different things like that. And now even aside from personally, even professionally, I have a team. So it's like, girl, you need to make sure you can pay everybody bills that you pay us. So it's like this decision cannot just be blind faith anymore. You know, it still has to meet like the budget and the projections and all of these things. So it's just a different kind of scary. I think it was scary because it was like, will anybody take me seriously or do they think I'm stupid? And now it's like, you know, will I be able to maintain this?
Yeah.
And I think the maintenance is really what punches you in the face with the fear and anxiety.
Right. Because you wake up and you're like, I still got to do the work again. I've been working for 12 years. Like, what's right? happening? It's like exercise. It's like, girl, I have to show up every day. This is getting really toxic for me.
Do you feel like that is like healthy from the standpoint of like forever, we're just going to have a healthy level of fear and anxiety and that's just what it is? Or do you feel like there's a point at which you're just like, nothing can touch me?
God, I don't know. That point is coming.
I think there should be a healthy level of fear, you know? Yeah. And yeah, I think both a healthy level of fear and anxiety, because I just think that reminds you that you're human, you know, mm-hmm. and that you're doing something that matters enough to you and hopefully others that you do have that, you know, internal fear and anxiety. Now, if it's keeping you up at night and stopping you from like doing day-to-day things, and I think now we're getting to a place now, you know, maybe we need to see somebody, you know, and that happens.
Might,
you know, that
might happens. Be keeping me up at night, but okay, I hear you. That's a lie.
Yeah. And I do think too, we have those seasons like right before a big project or like, let's say right before Impact Weekend, right before I hire more people. Yeah. I'm like, but I just can't sleep because my mind is constantly moving. And I'm like, well, I can't wait until tomorrow to do it, but I'm way too tired to do it tonight. Right. So there's a lot of that. But I think even starting out, like, it was so fun starting out. Like, that's why I'm excited about like my new company, Rebellious, because I'm like, it's fun. I don't have to stress about all of the tiny details. And like, even when we started out, there was way less comparison because there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't Twitter, people weren't running ads on Facebook. It was like, it was just like we compare ourselves to ourselves. Right, that's how it really should be. But, you know, now it's like you're seeing everybody's highlight reel constantly, constantly. You're seeing everybody else's numbers other than yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny with Maddie saying, I'm trying to figure out what does it look like when I arrive? And I'm like, I don't even know. There's not a specific look because it's like we do get caught up in everybody's highlight reels. And I get caught up in my own highlight reel where I'll look at my stories and I'm like, my life is so good. But in reality, I'm like waking up next to my wig that I haven't brushed in 3 days. And I'm like, let me put this on and get to the gym. Like, I'm late. So it's like, I've made it on the internet, but in real life, I'm still trying to get my mornings together.
So that brings me to my next question. When I look at you guys and read about what you're doing, you know, two words come to mind in terms of your success. For me, I see routine and I see strategy. Like, I feel like when you share, it's often about the team that you built or, you know, just your processes. So, you know, I struggle with both of those things. So clearly you've been able to, you know, find what works for you so that you can manage your lives, you know, on and offline. But what words would you say are like your keys? If it's, you know, the things that I said, strategy and routine, or if it's something else.
What would you say? I'd probably say discipline and commitment. I definitely think routine is important, but even when I'm off routine, I still get the work done anyway. So when I don't wake up at 5 a.m. and journal and pray and do all of the things, I'm still going to get done what I said I was going to get done, even if it's not polished, if it doesn't look picture perfect. So I think it's really just about the commitment, the discipline, and the follow through. Will I complete what I said I wanted to get completed?
On deadline? Are you good at like keeping time?
I would say I'm good at keeping time, and I'm also kind of, I do a lot to reduce as much stress as possible. So if I realistically know it's not getting done today, then I verbally get self-permission, okay, I'm going to get it done on Friday, rather than beating myself up for the rest of the day knowing that it's not going to get done.
Mm-hmm. Note to self, don't beat yourself up all day. Got it. This is helpful. Maddie?
I think for me, I think the thing that makes me stand out is I think I'm both deliberate and consistent. I think so many people, you know, want to grow and want to be so visible and noticeable. But it's like, you know, showing up every day is just something you just don't accidentally do. That's something that you have to be super deliberate about. Yeah. And also because I know most people are not willing to be consistent, just showing up on an everyday level in so many varieties of my content, right? Whether it was like my blogging, my podcast once upon a time was every day, you know what I mean? Like, you know, even as I start to ramp up my YouTube content, I want to be super deliberate about just showing up more often than the average creator because I'm trying to be noticeable. I'm trying to make sure, like, when brands are looking for influencers, they're trying to work with me. I want to make sure when people talk about the best that my name comes up by default, you know, because I'm willing to show up. And also, I'm just, like, really intentional. I try to be You know, but I think, you know, we were having a conversation, I think, like between the difference between intentional and deliberate. And I think deliberate is just a little bit more poignant than intentionality, right? Because I think they're like, I feel like intentionality is like more, it's like the safe version of being deliberate, right? It's like, you know, I really want to do well, you know, it's super, but it's like whatever it takes to get that done. Like I'm super deliberate about what I say, how I look, what I'm putting out there. And I think deliberate has a level of attention to detail that intentionality does not. And that is really what I am. And I realize that to be the best, like the people that I consider the best, they have an attention, a level of attention to detail that most people just do not.
100%. Who do you consider the best?
I think without question, I think Maya is the, you know, easily one of the best. You know, I just think also too, not aside from like, you know, obviously we both don't have like the most followers, but I think there's a level of success that I feel like a lot of businesses, you know, aspire to be, but I think there's a level of integrity that we really are deliberate about how we move out here, you know, behind the scenes. And I think that's different, you know, where it's like, not only showing up for our team, showing up for our team's families. I think we really think about sowing seeds into people, you know, because you cannot replace that. There's nothing on the internet better than an actual human spirit. And I think we're really, really deliberate on making sure that we are cultivating healthy, you know, human spirits and spreading good news amongst them.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I feel like when I think about the best, it's like, it's hard not to think of Kobe immediately.
Right? Oh my gosh.
It's like, and girl. I love what you said about, you know, intentionality and being deliberate. Yep. I feel like being intentional is about showing up on practice, showing up to practice on time, girl. And being deliberate is staying later so you can practice even more and become the best. And I feel like that is really the difference. And when I think about Maddie, like she's so intentional, she's very deliberate, and Maddie is all about making better. Like you will have something that is already excellent. She's like, well, let's just take this a step further. It's like, girl, well, we could have just left it how it is. It's totally fine. She's like, no. And every single day you talk to Maddie, she has some new thing that she's excited about. It's like, girl, that skincare routine I told you last week, that 5-step one, girl, there's a 9-step one. Glowing this summer, sis.
And it's like, girl, it's like the extra 4 steps. It's just going to take you 25 more minutes. It's like, just wake up. Just wake up and do the 4 extra steps. You've been wanting to wake up early anyway, so wake up and get better skin.
Right.
And it's like, honey, I'm just trying to get 5 steps in like 3 days out of the week. I'm not even willing to show up every day for my skin. Just 3 days out of the week.
For real. For real. And also, I don't know where to get that 25 minutes. I don't know where to get it. But I have a question for you guys because, you know, we see success. We see, and you guys, again, are very transparent about the journey. But as a person who struggles with all of these things, right, like legit, the children are usually on the other side of this wall where I'm sitting every day. You know, there's just a lot to manage and I'm losing it at times. I'm losing it. So I would love to hear, like, what do you all struggle with, right? What are your biggest challenges? Even if it's as simple as, like, I have a hard time getting up on time. Honestly, Maddie, you posted the other day, I think you woke up late. And you didn't like put your retainer in the night before and like didn't do something, like you listed like all the things you didn't do and then like gave yourself grace and you're like, I'm gonna just get it right tomorrow. And I was like, all the things she just said that she'd be doing at night and in the morning, I don't do none of that and still struggle to just like wake up and survive. So what are the things that you guys struggle with and maybe that you're working on?
You know, I want to be more present. I want to be a better listener. You know, I think listening has always been one of my biggest opportunities. And it really is just because, and funny enough, on the way here, I was like praying and I was like, honestly, a lot of the things I don't do well or have an opportunity to do better is just like being more present, you know, because I think so many times we think about who we were in the past and who we want to be in the future. And it's like, appreciate who you are now in the present. Like you're doing well, you know, and honestly, we all are. We always think about like, man, I could be doing better. And so I think that's one of my opportunities, just really kind of allowing myself to listen, to be present, to take, you know, even, and I'll say this, you know, it's necessary, but gosh, taking feedback or even constructive criticism can be, you know, really tense up, kind of wince, you know, but to me, I feel like, I forget the quote I just shared with like some of my clients, but it's really like, constructive criticism, even like the sharp criticism, is better than no feedback. It's better than avoiding feedback, mm-hmm. because it's so important to understand and be aware of how you can grow, you know? And that's really what it's about, right? It's about, you know, not taking compliments to the head and criticism to heart. You got to keep pushing forward. You cannot take these things personally. It's like, take what you need from it, mm-hmm. and then keep pushing, you know? This is not a reflection of, like, you know, how good of a person you are, or even your character. Yeah. It's just an opportunity to elevate your performance.
Mm. I love that. Corey Quinn says, don't take criticism. No, she says, take criticism seriously, but don't take it personally.
That's it.
That's it. You know, it's so interesting that you say that, because that helps me, because I actually think what I could work on better is giving constructive feedback to people, because I'm so short and concise that I just be like, that's not it, and just move forward to somebody else who can get it done.
So you don't give the feedback. You just say, like, this ain't working, and you move on.
Right. I'll move on to somebody better, or I'll just do it myself. Mm-hmm. And maybe in my head, I'm like, okay, next week I'll just do a whole training on how you can be better, instead of just being able to provide feedback in the moment, because it's a learning moment for that person. And I'm just like, I'm not here to be your coach. If you want to learn from me, join my coaching program. Mm-hmm. So
wow. I
definitely having those conversations.
That's a skill too, though. I mean, there's a double-edged sword to it, but like knowing when to move on, because I might be nurturing somebody, you know, much longer than I should be, because I'm like, they'll get it. It's okay. But I'm having to learn that.
Well, I think, you know, and it's interesting, because we all look at each other and say, oh my gosh, that's actually a pretty great skill to have, you know? I think The Dip by Seth Godin was really one of the first things I read that taught me, like, some things are just meant to be quit, you know, like, you're supposed to quit some things, and you're not supposed to try to, like, you know, push on, you know? And I think it's the perspective. And I think you get the best perspective when you are present and understanding, like, you know, what's the long game here? I think understanding what the long game of something and how something plays into your long game really does help you understand, like, you know what? I can keep pushing through with this, or it's like, this really, there's no space for this. Like, I need to trim the fat. And so, I think it's hard, because you have to be really present, really mindful to understand which way to go.
I think also is setting clear expectations up front, because usually we're annoyed about something, you know, a standard that's met that we did not communicate. And that's usually what it is. So it's just a reminder to me also that, yes, communicate feedback, but also how can you be better at setting that expectation? And especially when it comes to, you know, being a leader, it's like, that's the entire purpose of having, you know, key performance indicators, you know, within your team. It's like, okay, this is how I want you to perform, and this is the standard that needs to be met. So now I know when to let you go. Because girl, if I said that you'd be posting 5 days a week, and consistently for the last 3 weeks, you've been posting 3 times, and then week after week we met and I communicated that you're not meeting the standard, then now it's not based off of emotion or feelings. It's based off of the standard that we have set as the company, and you're not meeting that standard.
Right.
Yeah.
The hard part is that other side of it, the personal side, because when there is emotion and stuff like that, it's like, then expectations, you know, might need to be changed, right? I don't have the luxury of being like, or at least that's not how we approach our marriage. Like, I can't look at Chris and be like, well, you didn't meet these KPIs, bro. So, it's been almost 12 years, but let's go ahead and get these papers drawn up. Yeah. So I think it's and same thing with your children, right? Like, you know, like
my children, you know, who are currently screaming in the background. Yes.
right.
Are there cats in my backyard?
I definitely was like, is that my children? Or is that their children?
No. Three under three at the party over there. 3 under 3 is a party, you know? And so, it's the same thing. Like, when your children do something, and it's really learning just how to evolve and how to grow and how to get better. And I think that's a constant journey. You know, I definitely think having children has made me both more patient and impatient at the same time.
Oof, that part. Maya, go ahead and open your drink. I know you were trying to.
If her kids are screaming, I feel like I can open my drink. I don't know.
Totally. It's a party. So when did you all realize that you deserve or need a team? Or even, you know, what was that first, like, oh, I need an assistant. I need what was that first person? Because presumably you were doing all of this on your own for a while.
Maddie is
always smiles.
Like, I don't
always.
About that the other day. Yeah. Maddie stayed with a team, but no leadership skills.
No leadership skills, no standard, no company values. No, I'm like, I don't even know what you guys are doing here. I just need you here until I figure it out, you know?
But Maddie is such a great influencer that so many people want to follow her. So if Maddie says, you need to do this and be on my team, guess what? Somebody is signing up for that role.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love it.
In the days, I was a better influencer than I was a leader. And I luckily, the scale has shifted. You know, I definitely take my leadership more seriously. I definitely think, though, the shift in even how I had people around and led them shifted. Honestly, when I, you know, went full time, I was, you know, fired from my job and my assistant was running my social media at the time. And I was like, hey, you know, do you want to do this as well? Then we can up your, I'm like,
wait, let's just clarify. You had a job and your assistant within that company was also running your social, and you were like, I got fired. Why don't you come with me? Tom Cruise in it. Yes. You were Tom Cruise in it. Okay,
Listen, I was like, we already work together. So, you know, how about I just go ahead and let's double what I'm giving you now. And now you can do this as well. And it was a blessing that, it ended up working out for us. And, you know, she's been with me the longest. She, you know, handles all of like my brand partnership correspondence now. And so that is a blessing that I've had that kind of, you know, loyalty and we've been able to grow together. Cause I understand that that's not necessarily everyone's story. And that also, we both have gotten better. I think that's the thing that is super important to me too, right? It's not like, you know, this person is just hanging on because of the money, or I'm just hanging on to this person because I don't want to, you know, I'm being cheap and I don't want to pay people more or anything like that. So I think that's the thing that's really blessed me. But I think for me, I realized like, I had to get to a point where I understood like, creating content and influencing is what I do at a 9-10 level. So I need to be focused on the things that I do at a 9-10, and anything else can be delegated. And if I can't afford delegation, then I need to automate it with some kind of software. But really it's a mixture of both. And as I get better and grow, and as I financially have the bandwidth, then I can hire more team members.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson for me because there were so many things I was doing on my own at the beginning of this Black Love journey that like even hiring people and bringing people on to do those things, I'm still like, that's not how I do it. You know, like, let me just do it.
Well, and
you
also know, the goal is hiring people who are better than you.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
And that's also hard too, because you want to stay the big fish in the pond, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't evolve that way. Like, I am trashed in comparison to my assistant when it comes to corresponding and being professional with brands, you know, like, you know, she's just really good at that. And I think her corporate background obviously speaks to that.
Yeah.
But you just gotta hire people who are better than you. That's it.
Yep. And if you don't hire people that are better than you, you better have a step-by-step checklist on your expectations of what they
that
should
part.
Be doing.
That Maya is great at that. She's like, well, this is what we do here at Built to Impact. We don't do this, this, and this, and this is what we do. And it's like, and she'll walk you through it. But then after you walk through and you said that you got it, she's going to be like, so I don't understand why this hasn't been done.
That's great, though. That's how it should be. We have to your point earlier, that's about stating clear expectations so that when people don't do that, they know what they did or didn't do.
Exactly.
You know? Right. Yeah. I'm learning a lot about hiring people at entry level and hiring people that are experienced. And it's so interesting because, you know, I'm new to hiring employees and, you know, when you're like a freelancer or whatever, and you're used to hiring contractors, like, you know, they're like, oh, hire experts instead of amateurs. But it's definitely the same in the workplace. Like, you want to hire people with years of experience if you have, you know, the finances to do so, because I'm like, it makes a difference. When I hire people that are experienced, the people that I put on salary tell me what to do. The people that I pay hourly, I tell them what to do. That's it.
Sorry. No, I remember that quote specifically from a Pat Flynn podcast.
Oh.
He had his assistant on the podcast and he was like, she's so experienced. She tells me what I need to be doing for us to hit our goals. Mm. And I was always so impressed by that. I was like, those are the kind of people I want on my team. Right, I'm like, those right. are, that's the kind of team yeah. I want to build. People are like, well, no, Maddie, you said this is really what we're trying to focus on. So we need to be hitting this, this, and this. And I noticed that this ended up blocking up like that, again, that level of attention to detail and commitment. Mm-hmm. So not only attention to detail, but commitment to what is the goal? What are we mm-hmm. here to do?
That's the whole team too. And not just the leader. All right, we're going to pause it right there because there is something that I absolutely have to talk about. Our friends over at Shea Moisture Men are doing something really cool to highlight Black fathers that has me feeling some type of way, y'all. Look, you don't have to take my word for it. Listen to this.
Shea Moisture Men is committed to celebrating dads daily. As a part of lifting their voices, we created a father's lullaby called Light Inside of You. This lullaby is for us. By us. It is our way of creating our own generational tradition to be passed down father to father. We want to share the voice of love, tenderness, and joy, and hope that Black dads already share with their babies and with the entire world. Let's normalize and celebrate Black love in the form of a father's lullaby, our story, our song. The world needs to see and hear the love of Black fathers. Go to sheamoisture.com/men or Shea Moisture Men on IG and listen to a father's lullaby and then challenge a Black dad to share his story, his song, by singing the lullaby to his babies and posting it by using the hashtag a father's lullaby.
Did y'all get that? Shea Moisture Men over here being all about Black love. All right, Black dads, I need you to go over to Shea Moisture Men on IG. That's Shea Moisture, S-H-E-A, moisture like y'all know, Shea Moisture Men on IG, and share your lullabies. And for all the mamas listening, get the fathers in your life in on this beautiful expression of Black love. So one thing that I love to do here on My New BFF is, you know, really get to know you beyond the persona, which is what we've been doing. But I have a few just seemingly random questions that I want to hear from you guys on. So what does joy look like to each of you?
I'm so simple. Like, joy to me is like, I don't have any calls for the day and I get to sit down and watch Netflix for the next 5 hours uninterrupted. I think joy is just about how much peace I can accumulate at one time. So I feel at peace when I'm not forced, I should say, maybe to like pour into people more than I have the ability to.
Joy to me means experiencing that free, positive energy with Chris and the kids. Like, you know, so laughter or running around, you know, it's just like that just free and open space yeah. from a time and schedule standpoint to just be, really, you know. So whether it's like laughing at tickling the kids or running around, you know, the sound that just really does fill me up to the point of overflow is hearing Chris and the kids all laughing together, whether they're in the backyard or it's at, you know, or dance party after dinner, you know, it's just that space to just be, you know, because so many times we're trying to hit deadlines, we're sending an email, we're doing all of these things that have to be very performance-based versus just being.
Yeah.
And that's just me with a group of people who I get to call mine is just such a treat that's unmatched. There's nothing that compares.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's good. What can you do today that you weren't capable of 5 years ago? I know. For you guys, I'm sure it's like so many things.
Push a human out of my body.
Fair.
And to be fair, like, I've had all of the childbirth experiences. I've had a C-section, I've had natural birth, and I've been, you know, on some kind of anesthesia. So I've had every single version, you know. And now I just got to adopt a kid and I am in there, you know. And
got to keep it diverse, you know.
I think too, I'm able to end a relationship, I think both personally and professionally, in an amicable way. I think I used to believe that ending something had to be this negative or bad thing for me personally. But I now know how to end something in a, you know, in an amicable way. Like, hey, this is no longer serving either one of us. And, you know, I think it would be best if we, you know, if we wrap it up like this, you know, or even having that conversation. So I'm able to end something without taking it personally and making it a negative experience.
That's huge. What about you, Maya?
Something that I'm able to do now, wake up in a house that I own. That's definitely something that I do now. Wake up in a house that I own and just, you know, walk around my house and enjoy it, pay a salary and still have money left over, like just save a lot more money than I would have been able to do 5 years ago. There's access to so much more to be able to do more than we are now. So I'm grateful for everything that I can do now that I couldn't do 5 years ago.
For sure. For sure.
You mentioned earlier, kind of being able to focus on like, what's the end goal and everything should serve, you know, your long-term goal. So what do you want your legacy to be with all that you're building and working on now?
Ooh, that is a good one. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I just got done reading a book called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. And there's 5 questions he mentions in the book that, you know, you should ask yourself before making, you know, decisions, especially big ones. And one of the questions was, what's the story that you want people to tell about you when people talk about you, you know? So, and I think this just resonates both when you're alive and when you're dead. And, you know, for me, I want people to tell the story of how I really enjoyed being me, you know? So I really enjoy being Chris's wife. I really do enjoy being Maza, Callie, and Christian's mom. I really do enjoy that. And that I showed up with it with a level of just enjoyment. You know, I think it's so, you know, we joke around all the time, you know, as parents in general, but especially moms, you know, like, you know, motherhood is so self-deprecating because it's exhausting and different things like that. And it absolutely is exhausting, you know, but that did not mean that I did not enjoy that. And so it's important to me that the kids who I'm parenting remember that also when they become parents, you know, that my husband does not have to doubt that being his wife was one of the greatest honors of my life, right? Like I want there to be a level of joy, honor, and peace to be discussed when they talk about my story personally. I think professionally, I think it's so important for me to be remembered as, you know, somebody who created content that made women really, truly believe that they could have it all. Really, truly. I really do love creating something where people, you know, so I saw somebody tweet the other day. They were like, I'm going to start vlogging because Maddie has 3 kids. Like, and I didn't realize like you could still vlog and be interesting.
Wow.
Like, really, you know, and especially women who look like me, you know, and also do that for for the amount of money that you want, you know, like this is no, like, I don't have any limits when I have like strategies and dreams of like my content. Like, I think I'm worthy to be on everything from YouTube to Netflix to in front of 100,000 people live, you know, like the sky is not even the limit. Like, I'm willing to go past the sky, you know, and I also want people to realize like, being an everyday woman, specifically an everyday Black woman, is worthy to be put on a pedestal. You know, so many times we think that we need to be a professional athlete's wife, an entertainer, and this. We look for certain things to justify why the Black woman is worthy. And it's like, girl, she woke up, she washed her face. This is all the reason for us to pay attention to her. You know what I mean? And that's really important to me. And I know sometimes we get caught up in like, because I love it too, right? I got some new Manolos. I'm excited about that. I made this much money. I'm excited about that. But just being, just waking up and, you know, experiencing and sharing your everyday magic, as I call it, right? Just being an everyday Black woman is a reason to be celebrated. And I hope that that is something that people connect with. I hope they connect like, man, you know, she got to be who she wanted to be and still was able to be successful.
That's a gift. Yeah. Maya.
For, I guess, my personal legacy at this point, it's being an aunt to Maza, Kaliana, and Christian. which I mean, I cherish that role so much. I love my nieces and my nephew, but really just being a good friend, being a good daughter, being a good sister, being a good aunt, and inspiring everybody in my life to just love themselves and to also feel loved and to be really kind to themselves and go after what it is that they want. You know, my parents were here last night and they were watching the season finale of a docuseries that we just wrapped up called The Road to Impact. And just seeing their perspective when they hear me speak about like pushing past my fears and really believing in God to do what I want, knowing that I'm impacting the people that are closest to me feels really good. And hearing my mom say like, yeah, that's so important to like, you know, not settle and push past your fears. And that's what's important. I don't want anybody to settle because there's just no reason to settle. Our God is just so big and I don't understand why we keep chasing small things. Mm. And so I want everybody around me to know that I can get the absolute best if I make the decision that I want the absolute best. Everything that we want, it's already available to us, but we just have to make the decision that we want it. And so my prayer is that the people that are around me are inspired enough by my own actions to go after what it is that they want. And then professionally, you know, I essentially want the same thing professionally. I want to make women feel loved and encouraged and valued, and just encourage women to be obnoxiously confident, because I just feel like, you know, this world just wants to humble us. And it's like the moment you show confidence online, people want to humble you. And I'm like, I don't care what y'all are saying. I'm actually just here for myself. Like that post was actually for me. By the time y'all liked it, y'all were late. I already celebrated. So I really want women to be more confident in what they bring to the table, because we have so much value. And I think we downplay what we bring to the table because our excellence actually just comes to us so naturally that we don't hype ourselves up. And I'm like, no, hype up your excellence and even hype up the things that feel normal to you. Like how Maddie was saying, like she wants to encourage the everyday women, like the things that we do every day are actually really amazing. And it pushes past a lot of everybody else's mediocrity. And so I just want women to celebrate themselves and be compensated well for what they bring to the table. That's it. Mm.
All right, Maya and Maddie, I am definitely going to be taking away a lot. I've been pretty quiet because I'm over here taking notes. Okay, y'all. I know you've seen me. You might think I'm texting somebody. I'm taking notes. You know, and there's a lot, but for me, being present is huge. I definitely am constantly thinking about like what I didn't do and what I need to catch up on and what I need to learn and what's on my plate. And there is value in just like being present, as well as what you all said about kind of coveting other skills. Each of us said something that like we weren't good at. And then the other one was like, oh, there's an opportunity in that, you know, like, oh, that's a good skill. So, you know, just really recognizing the good and value in like what I know and what I do, as well as what I need to know and what I do, among so many other things, honestly. So before we close, I would love for y'all to share anything new that we should know about, anything coming up that we should watch, tune into, celebrate, like.
Well, for me, you can follow me and see me over at The Maddie James on social and maddiejames.com online. I have a lot of things coming up I can't talk about yet. So I would definitely follow though, because I think it's going to be a really, I think it's always a good time to follow me. I think I do a good job, but there's some really exciting things coming up in the next few months that I can't wait to share and tell you guys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just follow me.
Yeah. I think if you're struggling with balance and dehydration, you should definitely follow Maddie. She's definitely going to remind you to drink your water every single morning. So just that, yeah. And you'll get to see all of the aspects of her life and be really encouraged by how she handles it all. For me, I think what I'm most excited about right now is Rebellious Fit. Mm-hmm. So that is my new fitness brand, Rebellious. It's spelled like my last name with one L. So it's Rebellious. And honestly, part of the reason that I named the company Rebellious is because not enough people know how to pronounce my last name. So like, let me just name the company that makes it easy for them.
I didn't realize that you spelled Rebellious wrong.
Yeah, it's not wrong. It's right. It's with one L. I'm being a rebel.
It's so, personal. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly.
That is how you spell rebellion.
Yeah, that is how you spell it now. But you know what? This is so off topic, but growing up, I really thought fabulous was spelled F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S.
That's fair. That's fair. He tricked all of us, honestly.
He tricked all of us the level of confidence. My man said it with so much confidence. It was like, right. That's not how you spell it?
And that's how we're going out with rebellious. It's yes. One L. So anytime you see somebody with two L's, it's like, what are you doing in this here? Round? Yeah. Don't you know about rebellious? So yeah, I'm really excited about that, and so please follow there.
It's available now for purchase.
It is available now for purchase. Yeah, whether you work out or not, just sexy and cute.
So cute. The colors are so cute. I love it.
Thanks, Boo. And it's going to make you feel confident because a lot of times I won't even post me working out. It'll be like, guys, I'm just in my mirror today because I look fine and you should do the same thing. So my confidence, I hope, inspires you to be confident. And then, of course, you know, follow me on my personal page, Maya Elias, M-A-Y-A-E-L-I-O-U-S.
And full-on coaching when needed, right? There's a whole website that's not even social. Yes.
Right. Yes. Built to Impact. Always getting the girls together. So if you know that you have a high-end skill set and you're like, I'm going to be making money. I know I should be making $10,000 or more in my business. I just need the right coaching community. Our company can help you get there without a doubt. We have helped dozens of women within a six-month time frame, even less than that, to be honest. And I feel really confident that we can get you there. So if that's where you are, if you're a service provider, you know that you're an expert and you know you should be making more money, we would love to help you at Built to Impact.
I love it. Thank you, girls. I can't wait to check everything out. I want to thank you for joining me today. You know, I hope it's not too forward to say, I think you might be my new BFFs. All right, gang, if you want to see who will be next on My New BFF, let us know in a review. Don't forget to follow the podcast, and I'll see you back here in 2 weeks.